and thank you for participating in our conference call to discuss results relative to Q1 2023 for Eneva. Let's move on to slide number 3, where we have the highlights for the first quarter. Before we start through the details for the quarter, I'd like to emphasize that early in 2023 will mark the delivery of several opportunities we had mapped out in our business plan, reinforcing the execution of our commitments and presenting significant advances both operationally, financially, and commercially. Within this context, I'd like to highlight that our adjusted EBITDA reached 1,169 million BRL, a growth of 138% year-on-year. This is the highest EBITDA for an individual quarter we have ever posted in the company's history. This result reflects mainly the acquisition of CELSE and Termo Fortaleza operational assets with relevant fixed revenues, an increase in the availability in Jaguatirica Azulão, which exceeded 80% in the quarter, contributing 69 million BRL to the EBITDA number. A strong performance in energy trading, which filed an EBITDA of 169 million in the period, driven by the reallocation of the Futura 1 contracts and also driven by larger commercial margins, and also the energy export operations for Argentina, where demand has been growing. Even in a quarter where we had a peak in Brazil, we reached 220 GWh for export, which contributed with 39% of BRL for the quarter's EBITDA. The EBITDA also saw other important landmarks I'd like to highlight as we move forward. Number one, our leverage level, as measured by net debt over EBITDA, which reached 4.5x at the end of the quarter. In Futura 1, all the UFVs have been energized and are already generating energy to meet the contracts in the free market, and the ramp-up is expected to happen by for the end of May. On May 9th, we announced the closing of our partnership with White Martins, the signing of the partnership through which we'll trade energy from 3 of the 6 SPAs of the Futura project in high production regime at an average price of about 204 BRL per MWh. We have ensured a supply contract for 2023 through 2030 in the amount of 2.3 billion BRL, considering the average price of March 2023, which will be readjusted as we move forward with the contract. In addition to that, the PGC, our Parnaíba generation subsidiary, which includes Parnaíba 1 and 5, we have received the SUDENE tax incentive, reducing 75% our income tax for another 10 years due to investments in modernizing Parnaíba 1 as the cycle comes to an end. I now turn the floor over to Marcelo Lopes, who'll be talking about the export market.
Thank you, Lino. Good morning, everyone. Now, moving on to slide number 4, we can see on the slide how the demand for energy exports has been consistent and higher since 2023 when we compare that number with the same period of last year, which shows a larger window of opportunity for exports for this year. The light blue color in the chart shows that in the first quarter 2023, demand was mostly met by the export of the hydroelectric spill. However, since mid-March, with the approaching of the end of the wet period in Brazil, the turbine flow has been losing strength and opening room for more exports through thermal sources. Considering this wider window and with a higher volume of demand for export throughout the year, the expectation of a drop in the turbine flow investments is starting the middle of the second quarter and the approach of the winter, we believe, we'll have a more favorable energy exports for 2023. Moving to slide number 5, I now show you the result of our mark-to-market of our trading portfolio. In the first quarter of 2023, the energy sale contracts previously signed, the Futura 1 project, were reallocated to the trading company. With this,
the migration happened, and the net result of the mark-to-market of the trading portfolio, our so-called book, has reached 675 million BRLs at the end of March. In the chart on the left, we have the breakdown of this result by year. Once again, these are present values. In other words, an already discounted flow. If we look at the values on real basis, those contracts already in our portfolio show a potential of approximately 100 million BRLs per year until 2027, ensuring a consistent flow of results for the coming years. It's important to emphasize that this strong performance is backed up by a diversified trading portfolio, most of which is composed of many consumers, 140 in total, spread across several segments, as shown on the right-hand side. I now give the floor back to Marcelo Habibi, who will be talking about our financial numbers for the quarter. Marcelo, over to you. Thank you, Marcelo. Good morning, everyone. Moving now to slide number 6, I have the impact of the net revenue in the quarter. We recorded a net revenue of 2.5 billion BRLs in the first quarter of 2023, up 224% from the first quarter of 2022. In the quarter, all business lines contributed positively to the result. A highlight were the incorporations of Celse and Termo Fortaleza for the recently acquired assets, the expansion of our trading portfolio of contracts and clients, which saw an increase of 600% in the volume of energy traded, in addition to the variation in the mark-to-market of contracts, which contributed to an increase of 183 million BRLs in the quarter, and a larger availability at Jaguatirica when compared to the previous year. Also important were the export of energy to Argentina with 77 million BRLs and the sale of oil and condensate from Aneba with 33 million BRLs in the quarter. Moving now to slide number 7, we have the main impacts on the EBITDA of the company. EBITDA for the first quarter was the highest ever recorded in a single quarter by Eneva, an increase of 138% when compared to the same quarter of last year, an important landmark for the company where we exceeded a billion BRLs. The main factors driving those increases were 39 million BRLs in export generation for Argentina, allocated at Parnaíba and upstream, 50 million BRLs at Jaguatirica II, due to the increase in its availability throughout the first quarter of 2023. We also had another 25 million BRLs monetizing the condensate trading produced by Azulão and also oil from Aneba. We also had 471 million BRLs from acquisitions we made in 2022, 347 million of which related to Celse and 124 related to Termo Fortaleza. In addition, we also had another 248 million BRLs in our trading company with an increase in the trading margin and an impact, again, of the mark-to-market of the allocation of the Futura 1 contract to the trading company. The main negative impact when we compare quarter-on-quarter came from the accounting record in the first quarter of 2022 of 122 million BRLs relative to the advantageous purchase of Focus. It is worth mentioning that the EBITDA in the remaining of 2023 will be positively impacted by advances in important projects of the company, especially the availability at Jaguatirica, also availability at Parnaíba 5 for exports through December 2023, and Futura 1, which is expected to happen in May. Moving on to slide number 8, we have the main impacts on the consolidated financial result. The financial numbers was negative at 435 million BRLs in the first quarter, mainly driven by the Celse debt, which came at 182 million BRLs in the period. It's worth mentioning that we are actively working to renegotiate that debt and reduce its related costs. Other factors that have impacted the financial result were 128 million BRLs by the growth in volume of the debentures, the total indebtedness of the company. We also had 58 million BRLs coming from the result of expenses with debt charges, interest on the debentures, and monetary variation arising from the startup of Azulão, Jaguatirica, and Parnaíba 5, which were previously capitalized since the projects were not yet operational back then. Also, 38 million BRLs relative to the CDI increase in the period, and 46 million BRLs in interest on the lease, referring to the FSRU ship chartered by Celse. The positive effects in the results were mainly due to the cash earnings in the quarter, in the amount, also foreign exchange variations.
Slide 9 present the main changes in cash flow. The cash flow of our operating activities recorded at 573 million BRL in the quarter, with the main negative impact, the increase in working capital. The main factors driving this increase were the negative impact on the quarter's accounts payable and the accounting offset of the non-cash amount of the mark-to-market of the trading's contract recorded in this quarter's EBITDA that will materialize in the upcoming years. These factors were partially offset by a lower accounts receivable balances related to export revenues. The cash flow from investment totaled a cash outflow of 341 million BRLs in the quarter. These figures were allocated to Paraíba 6 project, the liquefaction plant in Maranhão, Azulão 950 megawatt project, and Futura 1, among other investments, with the company's current activities. The cash flow from financing activities totaled an outflow of 781 million BRLs. This amount refers mainly to the creation of links deposited in cells and payments of interest incurred in the period. As a result, Eneva ended a quarter with a cash position of 1.5 billion BRLs. Now on slide 10, we see details on Eneva's capital structure. The first quarter of 2023, the company's net debt totaled 17.1 billion BRLs, and the leverage measured by net debt over EBITDA was 4.6 times. The reduction in leverage compared to the fourth quarter of 2022 already signals an improvement in our leverage profile, which increased last year due to the company's growth. Now, the average maturity of the consolidated debt was 5.3 years at the end of the quarter, with both maturities concentrated on 2026. And the end of the period of 42 of the debt was indexed to IPC, 41% of the CDI, and 15% was prefixed. Fausto will talk about the investments of the quarter and talk about the status of our projects. Thank you, Habib. On slide 11, we see our investments total 516 million BRLs in the competency-based views and were destined mainly to the activities of projects under construction. In TPP Parnaíba 6, we invested a total of 73 million BRL in this project. We received the cooling tower structure and concluded the assembly of the heat recovery boiler modules and the construction of the containment basin, a structure designed to retain the liquid waste generated by the plant's activities. In the Azulão 950 megawatt complex in Amazon, a total of 211 million BRLs were invested in the period, 170 million of which were used to pay the first milestones to GE, the supplier of the simple cycle and combined cycle turbines. Also, 63 million BRLs were directed to well drilling and completion activities, and 24 million BRL to basic engineering of the primary treatment unit, UTP. Draining and earth moving projects were also approved in the period. Now, Parnaíba, the small scale LNG plant that is built close to Parnaíba complex, we invested 40 million reais throughout the quarter. We signed contracts with the EPC employees responsible for liquefaction, regasification, and with other logistic operations. Besides this, topography, drilling, and factory inspections of the liquefaction equipment were started. Now, Futura 1. The figures were mostly related to the registration of invoice for payments to suppliers of solar panels and equipment, and to a lesser extent, to operate and maintenance costs that are being capitalized, given that the solar park had not come into operation by the end of the quarter. Finally, in upstream, we invested 32 million BRL in the development of gas field in Parnaíba complex, highlighting Gavião Preto, Gavião Belo, Gavião Tesouro, and Gavião Carijo. We also invested 12 million BRL in the exploratory activities in the Parnaíba and Amazonas basins, including amounts for long duration tests carried out in Aneba. Now, slide 12. This is the status of Futura 1 complex, one of the largest solar complexes in Latin America. In the beginning of the second quarter of 2023, we gradually started test operations in each of the 22 UFVs, according to the releases received by ONS and ANEEL. At the end of last week, we completed the energization of all 22 UFVs. And with this, all units are already generating energy for trading. We also requested the issuance of the DAPRPs that are permanent generation authorizations granted by ONS. Considering the deadlines for the issuance of the DAPROs by ONS and afterwards the order by ANEEL, our forecast for the start of commercial operation of 100% of the complex is the end of May. Slide 13, this is the update of small K LNG project in Parnaíba. The work is already 98.5% contracted with 96.3% of physical adherence. We have already concluded the earth moving stages in the site in April and the mobilization of the EPC, which is the regasification site, which was concluded in May. As the next milestone for 2023, I highlight the beginning of the receipt of equipment at all sites in June, the conclusion of the manufacture of carts already 100% contracted. In 2024, we calculate the conclusion of the reception of equipment at the sites in January, the conclusion of liquefaction commissioning in April, and the conclusion of regasification in May in order to allow the beginning of the commercial operation in the second quarter of 2024. Now on slide 14, I present the updates of Parnaíba 6 project. The project is at 108.4% of physical compliance and 68.8% of physical progress in the works. We are preparing for the arrival of the generator and the complex in May, which is one of the project's milestones. We have already concluded the alignment of the steam turbine inner casing at the São Paulo plant, the positioning of the boiler drums, and the assembly of the equipment bases and the substations measurement and building panel. The milestone in 2023 include the delivery of steam turbine in Parnaíba in September and energization of the transformer in November. For 2024, we plan to complete mechanical assembly in February, start test operation in July with commercial operation scheduled to begin in the third quarter of 2024 and CCEAR startup in January of 2025. Now on slide 15, here we have the updates of the Azulão 950 megawatt project. The stages of vegetation suppression and the mobilization of the project's management team were concluded. We also concluded the drilling of 4 wells and performed licensing of 8 more in line with our planning. The capex of the work is already 32.6% contracted. We have already contracted 100% of Power Island with GE and all the services and equipment for the wells and engineering for the feed. And we are progressing in the contracting of the remaining equipment and services for the year 2023. The next milestones are the final phase for the mobilization of the civil work in June, the signing of contracts for critical equipment in August, and the signing of EPC contracts in December. For 2024, we calculate the start of pipeline construction and plant energization for July. We estimate the COD of simple cycle for January of 2026. And the combined cycle to start operating in October of 2026. Now I give the floor to Felipe Valverde for the.
Thank you, Fausto. Let's now move on to our Q&A session. Once again, questions should be sent in writing through the Zoom platform. We already have a couple of questions. Let's get started. First question is the following. I'd like to know if the company intends to pay out dividends, JCP, so that we can better plan our tax process. Well, thank you for the question. The company has 185 million barrels of losses dating back to previous activities. That loss has been decreasing year on year. Last year it was 385 million, this year 185. So we're gradually moving towards zero in terms of loss. And when we turn that to a positive number, we'll start thinking about paying out dividends to our shareholders. So objectively speaking, this year we will not have dividend payouts, right? Once we revert those losses going forward, like next year, probably we'll be start paying out dividends once again. Second question, it's a three-pronged question. The first one is the following. Do you believe that the company's SG&A, excluding expenses with IRP, could be considered a recurrent level for the coming quarters of the year? Well, thank you for the question. Once again, we like to look at SG&A as a whole thing, not only for the holding part of the group. We have a G&A which is slightly higher because it's allocated across the units, depending on the respective activities of the different units. So as a whole, the SG&A level should remain at the current level, and the allocation at the holding level, if nothing changes in terms of administrative activities, should stay the same as well, proportionally speaking. And now I'd like to ask Marcelo Lopes to jump in, please. First question is, we saw a strong result coming from the trading, even if we exclude the MTM impact. Do you believe that EBITDA level is recurring for the rest of the year? And then, can you comment on the current expectation in terms of demand for the next reserve auction coming up? Do you believe that thermal plants can compete as well? Well, thank you for the question. Let's start by the first part relative to the trading results. It is true we did achieve good results, very good results in Q1. The MTM should not repeat because it was driven by a transfer of contracts under Futura, and that has already happened. We have other contracts for self-production that we should be signing this month or next month, but the impact will be felt throughout time in the value of the assets based on the average price of this energy sold. The other component that really helped our results this quarter was the reduction in market prices. We had been believing in a drop in prices, and that drop really materialized, and that of course helped us deliver consistent results in Q1. That effect should not be seen again either, because market prices are not likely to drop further than that. We are now at a reasonably close position in terms of the results and the prices, and very likely those two effects, price drop and MTM, should not be seen again, which does not mean that other opportunities could not be explored by our trading arm and then positively impact our future numbers. As for the second question about the expectation in terms of demand for the capacity auction coming up, we believe in what we presented actually during the ENEVA day this year. We believe in high demand for the capacity reserve auction. Our estimate is about 8 gigs, which is part of what will be decontracted in terms of thermal plants until 2028. And we also believe that even if the auction seeks technological neutrality, in other words, thermal competing with other sources, including water sources, the trend for this type of product, which is a very reliable product, we believe that thermal plants tend to be more competitive for this type of auction.
We're very close to what will happen, where we believe in a high demand for the reserve auction. Our estimate is about 8 gigs, which is part of what was decontracted in terms of thermal companies until 2028. And we believe that even if we look to achieve a neutral level, in other words, that thermal competing with other sources, including hydro plants, the trend for that product, we believe that thermal plants tend to be more competitive for this type of auction. Thank you, Marcelo. We have another question coming in about Argentina. How are you mitigating potential risks in sales to Argentina given the fragile situation of the company? Can you talk about that topic a bit, please? Thank you for your question. Well, sales to Argentina, it happens through a middleman. Argentina sells to a trading company. The trading buys from the Brazilian trader. Within this triangle, there are two insurance or assurance instruments. Argentina insures the banking payment to the first top quality bank, and the trading company through a different assurance structure, sometimes using the same bank, some other times using other banks, but in any event, first rate banks. With all of that, that combination of efforts, payments are assured. So in short, sales to Argentina have a bank assurance in place as is. Thank you, Habibi. Well, let's move on with Argentina. We have a few questions about Argentina. I'll try to summarize them all into one question. Can you comment on the expectations of for exports in Argentina for the coming quarters? As you complete the pipeline, could that limit the potential? Also, can you give us more details about the transmission capacity to Argentina and how is Parnaíba competing with other thermal assets? Thank you for the questions. Let's start with transmission data. Today, we have Garabi Conversion Company, which can convert 2.2 gigs or transfer 2.2 gigs from Brazil to Argentina. And we also have the converting company in Melo with Uruguay, another 500 megawatts. So in total, we have a capacity of transmission between Brazil and Argentina and Uruguay of 2.7 gigs. Uruguay is able to send energy to Argentina. So in some periods of the year, all that capacity may be transferred to Argentina, depending on the demand coming from Uruguay and also, of course, also depending on internal restrictions of both countries. As for how the Parnaíba complex is competing with other thermal companies, early in the year, because of the high water availability, the turbine flow took up most of the energy which was exported to Argentina. But as we mentioned before during the call, as the wet period ended and as reservoir levels dropped, that turbine-based energy tends to converge to zero and we'll be having a thermal-based export process. Three players have been meeting that demand for thermal generation. The cogeneration thermal plants from Petrobras, which generate to meet internal demands, and they are competitive, of course, because it is their opportunity to generate vis-a-vis spot prices. The coal-based thermal plants in the southern region of Brazil, which have some flexibility, and because of that, they turn out to be very competitive as well. And Parnaíba, because of the R2W model, which brings competitiveness to the process. So throughout time, we have the bids, which happen through the trading companies in Brazil. And those players, those three players, have been able to meet this limited demand, limited to the transmission capacity. As I said, we believe that the wet period is coming to an end. We are already in the month of May, and the turbine-based flow is still happening at lower volumes than in February and March, but it tends to converge to zero in May. And the trend is that thermal generation will be able to meet that export demand, and it should remain the same throughout the year. The pipeline expected to start this year should not change the possibility of our exports. With the second phase, which is expected for next year, we expect that for the summer periods, we may need to resort to other types of generation. But in the winter, because of heating equipment, we'll be able to export energy from Brazil to Argentina. Okay.
Here, Paulo, Bahia Ampere, has there been an update of Bahia Terra complex? No update since Petrobras was notified by the MME the day after we spoke to Petrobras. They requested a period to understand and internally discuss with the new board to replan their strategy. But since that day, we haven't been able to talk to Petrobras due to their request, and we were never formally notified. We know that this is an ongoing process, so we're still waiting for Petrobras' position in order to see what we will do within this process. And we expect to receive a notification in the upcoming months. The next question. Now, replacements and generation, can you talk about of substitution per generation? How would this work in practice? Thank you for your question. Now, this opportunity of generation per replacement by flexible plants, this is an opportunity that we've mapped, and we are working with interested partners, but there are challenges that we have to overcome. One would be a regulatory challenge, because in the current regulation, this is not foreseen. Therefore, we have to focus on the regulatory point. Now, at the same time, we have to develop models together with our potential partners. This works when you have a partner that has the gas opportunity cost to buy or to sell to a third party higher than your opportunity cost to generate in order to substitute this partner. Every time we have this, there's an arbitrage, and afterwards there's a possibility of sharing the result that is generated. So we are working on the contracts, and at the same time, we're also engaged together with the regulatory teams in order to enable this possibility within our regulation. Thank you. The next question. The Fortaleza thermal plant, any update of receiving gas in the thermal plant Fortaleza through GNL? Thank you for your question. The two options are possible, and they have already been answered. GAS-4-2 is a project that TAG, the subsidiary of ENGIE, is interested in participating. The challenge here is the market to enable a project like GAS-4-2's, the thermal plants that work with a flexible modality. These thermal plants won't be able to work with their budget. With SEBA, we're working with a gas supplier, this is Shell, in order to have a supply contract option to participate in the auction. We are closely following the evolution of the project, and we expect this supply to be feasible so it can participate in Termofortaleza.